Thank you very much, Lawrence. And thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. Very proud to be with the two fathers. I might become the grandson at some point. just arrived in Geneva almost in my first appearance here in the International Environment House. So pleased to be here and congratulations to the Geneva Environmental Network with the anniversary. Well done. I see it to be an enormously strong network and we are happy to be part of it. And I have several staff members here who come and are constantly inspired by what is done in this house. Now I was asked to look into 2030. How will the world look like in 2030? And what will Geneva look like? And what will be the contribution of Geneva in 2013? And if you look at the front page of almost any newspaper today, it's very easy to build a doomsday scenario. A doomsday scenario of extremism, of conflict, of climate change, of water scarcity, of new epidemics, of widespread intolerance. It's all there, every single day on the front page of the news. But actually, if you look down into facts and figures, you know, you can actually paint a very positive scenario as well. And that's what I will try to do. Because being in the UN, I think the most important thing is to stay optimistic. And you can become optimistic if you look to the future. I believe in 2030, we will have a world where not only the green economy, but the circular economy has gone very far. And where architects and designers develop buildings and products that are designed to re-enter the biosphere. And designed to be circulated with minimum loss. And that revolution can be driven by the UN, UNEP, by many of you here in this room. I believe in 2030 we will have a future where we will capture the carbon from burning fossil fuels. And it will be based on a strong agreement, hopefully in Paris, and it will be based, I hope also, on the recommendations that we have just done in UNEC on how we can capture and circulate carbon in the future. I believe in 2030 we will have moved significantly closer to a carbon neutral world. When I was a teenager, and that's only a few years back, as you can tell, my father put up one of the first modern Danish windmills at our farm. Today, windmills are 100 times larger. Every single prediction of the potential of renewable energy that has been done for the past 20 years almost have been too pessimistic. They have been beaten by technology, they have been beaten by science. And I believe this will happen in the next 15 years as well. So the energy revolution will speed up significantly, pushed by science and shaped, the science shaped here in Geneva, WMO, IPCC, and pushed by many of you as well. When I went to school, I remember we had a project where we talked about the future, and we talked about this totally, for us, impossible fantasy of having mobile phones, having phones without cords, and having phones where you can actually see each other. And nobody believed in it, and today I do it every day with my wife, who's still in Denmark. And in 2030, we'll have an extremely well-connected world, with internet in every corner, with communication, will be wireless, all our data will be in clouds, available everywhere, anywhere, anytime. Nobody can distinguish offline, online anymore. And I hope when I participate, hopefully again in the Geneva Environmental Network in 2030, I'm sure I'll be here as a hologram, and you won't be able to tell. I hope my wife will be able to tell. although I'll be 15 years older at that point. But it will be a revolution coming to us. And here we have ITU here in Geneva, who will be driving that revolution and trying to ensure that it's available to every citizen in the world and making sure that our dignity and our privacy is protected as we go along. 15 years ago, back, and it's actually almost exactly the same as the Geneva Environmental Network starts, I was in a debate, I remember, in Denmark. It was on a highway. And I claimed back then, it's 15 years back, I claimed that before 2020 you would have autonomous cars. So we didn't need this highway because cars could go with a very small distance and they could move in entirely new ways. And people laughed at me, and my opponent at the meeting, he said it wouldn't happen in our generation. Well, it turns out I was too pessimistic. This spring, autonomous cars will be released to drive in Singapore. And in 2030, we'll have entirely new means of transportation. Can drive autonomously, quietly, run on electricity, on hydrogen. And we hope, in UNECE, We host 58 transport conventions, and we host the World Forum on Vehicle Regulations. I hope we can push this by our transport conventions and the vehicle regulations and provide the legal framework for autonomous, quiet, and energy efficient vehicles. In 2013, we will have a world where most of the diseases we have today can and will be curable, I hope. And it will be driven especially by genetic mapping and genetic understanding. And I'm not an expert in this, but my sister luckily is, and she constantly talks about it. She's one of these front-edge companies driving this revolution. When the first human genome was mapped in 2003, it had taken more than 10 years. It had costed much more than $1 billion to map the first genome. Today, you can do it in 24 hours, and it will cost you less than $1,000. And in a few years from now, you can do it for $100. It's going to drive an entire revolution in the health system. Every single baby in our part of the world, and hopefully in many other parts of the world, will be genetically mapped when it's born, he or she is born, and there you can really deal with diseases in an entirely new manner. Every day this technology is saving lives today, it will save millions of lives in 2030. WHO here in Geneva is crucial in ensuring that this benefits everybody and that human rights and health rights are secured. In 2030, we will have a world where pollution levels have gone down significantly. Asia, the rest of the world, will have hopefully adopted cooperative approaches to reducing air pollution, and I hope they will be inspired by the Air Pollution Convention that we host here in Geneva. We will have a world in 2030 where water scarcity has led not to conflict, but to deep and comprehensive cooperation in many regions of the world, because that's actually happening more often than the conflict scenario. And I hope we will be able to inspire that process also by the Water Convention here in Geneva. We will have, I hope, sustainable forest management will be the norm and not the exception in 2030. And I hope it will be driven by a legally binding forest convention. And I hope we can develop it in a close partnership between UNEP, FAO, not least our joint office here in Geneva. In 2030, we'll have a much more peaceful place. If you read the news today, you think the world is going berserk, and it is. But if you look at the numbers, all the worrying reports of wars, conflicts, violence, mass killings, genocide, homicide, actually the world is becoming constantly a more peaceful place if you look at the past decades. The number of people killed by all these causes have dropped, and the chance of dying from old age today is greater than ever for people all the world. And this trend can and will continue for the next 15 years. And I hope Geneva will be driving it with human rights and global governance as it's doing already today. And finally, in 2030, we'll have a world that's much more democratic. Again, look at the past decades. Democracies have grown. The more democracies and stronger democracies, despite all the resistance and fighting back. And much of what we see today is a world that is changing very fast and, of course, breeding severe reactions from those who are losing and who those want to fight it. But democracies grow stronger and they grow, and we see more democracies. It will continue, and people all over the world will claim their rights. In almost all countries, we will in 2030 have a fairly well-educated and fairly large middle class. They will claim their rights. And they'll do it based on the principles developed in Geneva, and hopefully the Aarhus Convention that we host can give its contribution also in environmental democracy. Finally, but first and foremost, in 2030, we can have a world where we have eradicated extreme poverty, the first generation ever to have done it. If you look at the numbers done by the World Bank and the Rebellion, of course, we won't go to 0.0, but we can go to 2-3%. Eradicate extreme poverty, and it will be based on a set of sustainable development goals that I hope, Achim, will change the world, and I know you hope it as well. And those sustainable development goals, I know, have been elaborated and developed, and they will be implemented by a strong contribution from Geneva. So I remain optimistic on behalf of the world and on behalf of Geneva. Thank you very much.
And I now turn to Inger Andersen and ask her what she thinks should happen.
Well, you know, when I was, first of all, I should express